Hello, everybody. Today is the 19th of August, 2013, and we are dealing with Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries, and we're in this section on the paths of higher evolution. We're working on a compilation which has most of the main material that Master DK wrote on this subject. We're in Section 25A, and we've completed, well, how can you use such a word? We have offered some suggestions on ways to think about the three first paths, the path of Earth service, the path of magnetic work, and the path of the planetary logoi. First, second, and third paths. And we've also attempted to analyze some of the archaic stanzas connected with these paths. They are very obscure, but perhaps some thoughts have been offered which will help orient us to a still better and fuller interpretation at some time. I'd almost like to go back and do it all over again now that I have my mind more fixed on the possibilities. Here we take up the fourth path, which is the path to Sirius. A very important one as far as our solar system and our Earth humanity is concerned. And he begins by saying that this is from Initiation Human and Solar. He begins by saying that very little may be communicated about this path. You know, presumably this is a question, a permission. And the curiously close relation between it and the Pleiades can only be mentioned, further speculation being impossible. We may have discussed the ways in which the Buddhi and Manas principles are involved in both Sirius and the Pleiades. The soul ray of Sirius, I presume to be the fifth, with the monadic ray being the sixth and second. So the soft line and hard line are there. When it comes to the Pleiades, there's a very strong third ray, maybe even its monadic ray. Maybe we live in that kind of system, for the one about whom naught may be said. We have to further research is required there, but the cosmic Buddhi also comes from the Pleiades. It transmits it from Draco. But if the Pleiades are the very center of everything and really the major expression of the one about whom naught may be said, and Draco is simply a constellation in a chakra in the one about whom naught may be said, we would wonder how the energy can come first from Draco. Maybe it is sent from the Pleiades first, then to Draco, and then return to the Pleiades. In any case, there is a strong second ray. The path to the Pleiades, I think, is the one path. Finally, all different traveling monads, traveling for their education along a certain line, resolve themselves into the Pleiades, I believe, as the center of the entire one about whom naught may be said. But I think the connection here, the Pleiades do have a strong connection with the solar angels via their Buddhic quality. And of course, the solar angelic training is given on Sirius. And this is suggested on page 844 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire on that important tabulation. So the bulk of liberated humanity goes this way. What does it mean to be liberated? To be liberated means to have taken the fourth initiation. But until one is a Chohan, one cannot travel these paths. That is one of the changes which has been made, that the paths are no longer available at the fifth initiation but have been deferred to the sixth. Always the standard seems to be rising. Well, it will require much pondering to see what is meant by the curiously close relation to the fourth path, of the fourth path to the Pleiades. Sirius is in time and space 8 light years away, and the Pleiades much farther, over 400 light years away. So one is in our local neighborhood, and in our local cosmic logos, which we've been calling the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. And the other is much farther away, but eventually will be the goal towards which all of those treading the way of higher evolution return. And as a matter of fact, one could say that the Pleiades will be that point of absorption for the entire one about whom naught may be said, when that system, notice we can call it a system, and it's even a solar system, to show you how that word can be used as a blind, when that system comes to an end. The bulk of liberated humanity goes this way, and what can we say here? Is this 80% or 85%? It's non-monastic humanity, and maybe Earth humanity, which do not have as strong a monastic emphasis as the humanity that was introduced into our chain from the moon chain. We don't know the figures. I mean, that's a very general term, but we can understand that the majority of human beings are going to travel towards the sunshine of that major sun, as it's called, and there undergo, well, who knows what kind of training. One of the types of training will be training for solar angelhood. So the bulk of liberated humanity goes this way until we've taken the fourth initiation and moved beyond it and are a true master and even a Chohan. We are not leaving this planet and solar system. And this prospect holds out glorious possibilities. And when we use a word like glorious, we kind of mean, you know, an effulgence of light and power. The seven stars of the Pleiades are the goal for the seven types. And this is hinted at in the Book of Job in the words, "Canst thou bind the sweet influence of the Pleiades?" There is a connection. Speaking of sweet, we know there is this connection between Pleiades, Cancer, and Venus, the planet of attractive sweetness, and also, of course, the cosmic Buddhic aspect is there. The seven stars of the Pleiades are the goal for the seven types. Does he mean, so to speak, path types, or ray types? In any case, the Pleiades are the hub of the wheel. They are a great cluster of stars at last count. Something I recently read, maybe 1,000 stars, over 1,000 stars. Of course, that's a rough figure, but it seems to be very much correlated with the number of petals in the 1,000-petal lotus of the human being. So finally, wherever the paths may take one, and they will take one, I think, to the various constellational chakras of the one about whom naught may be said, the final goal will be the Pleiades. And it looks like the seven major stars of the Pleiades are somehow the goal. Okay. Here we are. And I'll call these major. Seven stars major with the Pleiades. There's also Atlas and Pleione, and now there are nine paths, and so we have to wonder whether those parental stars are involved in the nine paths. In the mystery of this influence and in the secret of the Sun Sirius are hidden the facts of our cosmic evolution and incidentally, therefore, of our solar system. And when we talk about cosmic evolution, we are talking about the evolution of the one about whom not may be said, and also of the cosmic logoi within that one. And we, you know, incidentally, are of our solar system, a one sun system, is within a cosmic logos, and the cosmic logos is within, is a constellation within the one about whom naught may be said. So that's all that DK is going to say at the very beginning in that early book, 1922. And maybe we would like to know more about these glorious possibilities. So then we turn to A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. And this path is, of all the paths, the most veiled in the clouds of mystery. It's almost like, it's analogous to the idea that it seems easier to find out more about the solar logos than it is about the planetary logos. The solar logos is often easier, I can't say easier to understand. Let's just say that about the solar logos, more of a revelatory is written than about the planetary logos. Anyway, the reason for this mystery will only be apparent to the pledged initiate, presumably beyond the third initiation and pledged to the fulfillment of the plan and purpose beyond the third initiation. Though a clue to the secret may be gained if it is realized that in a peculiar and esoteric sense the Sun Sirius and the Pleiades hold a close relation to each other. Yes, of course, within the one about whom naught may be said, Sirius, I believe, will function within a large solar plexus center, maybe as the upper point within that solar plexus center. There is the whole question of cosmic manas, the Sirius gives manas. Well, I suppose it would be higher manas, or gives or promotes or strengthens the development of manas for the solar logos. And the Pleiades, something similar for the heavenly man. Of course, the Pleiades is a much greater source, and we realize when we compare the luminosity, the radiance, the strength of the stars in the Pleiades, they are much greater than that of Sirius. We could get into the details of how much greater. There's always a question when you measure exoterically the luminosity, the heat, the radiance, the magnitude of stars. What does it tell about the interior life that is informing that star? The greater the external display, does that also mean the greater the internal life? Generally, one would think it to be the case, because that external display has to come from some kind of inner radiance. and that inner radiance has to come from some kind of development. Of course, here in these in this suppressed receptivity we have in these lower worlds, we don't necessarily see the inner radiance of a human being. We are often bewildered by the outer form. But I suppose for those who have eyes to see, that radiance is evident. But in a way, the outer form is very thick, and the radiance has to make its way through. So there is a relationship here. It is a relation analogous to that which lower mind holds to higher mind. And this is the lower is receptive to or negatively polarized to the higher. Sirius is not this, is the seat of higher mind, and Mahat, as it is called, or universal mind, sweeps into manifestation in our solar system through the channel of the Pleiades. It is almost as if a great triangle of Mahatic energy was thus formed. So that triangle maybe will be, see how we look at this, there will be Pleiades, Sirius, soul, our solar logos. Now, of course, everything is a bit inverted. Sirius seems to be a very great source here. And we are thinking Sirius is the seat of higher mind. And I suppose this means that Pleiades, in some way, represents the lower mind. But you kind of wonder about the personality ray of the Pleiades. Is it the third? And is its monadic ray as well the third? It gives a lower type of manas into our solar system, and it gives it to the heavenly men, whereas the kind of manas bestowed by Sirius upon the solar logos is higher. And yet the two sources are all out of proportion. The Pleiades, in an absolute sense, is a much higher source than Sirius. But nevertheless, for our solar system, Sirius is the seat of higher mind, and Mahat, as it is called. Higher mind and Mahat sweeps into manifestation in our solar system through the channel of the Pleiades. Well, Mahat is a more concrete aspect of cosmic mind. Maybe we should... cosmic mind. And Sirius is responsible in relation to our solar system for the bestowal of higher mind. And in this case, not Mahat. So this is an important sentence. Sirius is the seat of higher mind, and Mahat, as it is called, or universal mind, sweeps into manifestation in our solar system through the channel of the Pleiades. So in a way, universal mind sounds like a very great thing. It sounds higher in a way than higher mind. But this is a relation here analogous between the lower mind to that which the lower mind holds to the higher mind. And then he basically tells us that Sirius is higher mind, so the only conclusion is that the Pleiades represent lower mind, and yet they also represent universal mind. So the Pleiades, so it seems, represent lower mind, but also, perhaps, universal mind. And let's say that we should not say that Mahat is a more concrete aspect of cosmic mind. It is the type of mind with which the Dark Lodge concerns itself, and the initiates rising in its ranks are initiates of pure Mahat, and they are not tempered by the energy of love. So Sirius seems to... or let's say that the Pleiades seem to bestow a double type of mind. both lower mind, as it is called here, see, the lower mind, and also Mahat, or universal mind, both lower mind and also Mahat, or universal mind. There is reason to believe if we, let's say, were to turn to this particular chart, and it would be here, and it would be here, and it would be chart, I think chart number 5. Chart number 5, this little triangle, I think, actually represents the Pleiades. It's the third in order, as we usually progress around chains. These chains are, it's as if ones about whom naught may be said are like cosmic chains to the sub-parabrahmanic logos. And the way Keith Bailey colored this, it's green, and it would seem to represent a very high type of third-ray energy for the Pleiades, not exclusively their personality energy. They are in the third place, I think. And, well, you know, the reason that I don't look at this third triangle as the solely the origin of the seven rishis of the Great Bear is that also a solar logos, or any solar logos, is coming from that triangle as well. So more than one type of aggregation of sources comes from that triangle. Anyway, I am experimenting with the hypothesis that this triangle represents the Pleiades and represents a very high third-ray source, a source high enough to be called universal mind. But we have to be careful about the term Mahat because, as I say, a pure Mahat seems to be the line along which the Black Lodge members are ascending on their own courses, whatever that may be, on their own tracks. Certainly not too serious because the Cosmic Christ is expressing, or our local Cosmic Christ is expressing through Sirius particularly. So this whole connection between the Pleiades and Sirius is one having to do with mind. And I'll just make that as a general statement. Okay. Right. Here we go. That the relation of the Pleiades to Sirius and thence to our solar logos occurs along the line of mind. But there could be, there are Buddhic relations as well. You know, it's almost as if, you know, the three super principles at the present time, three super principles in our solar system at the present time. Okay. There's another one of those good abbreviations. At the present time, as I'm constantly using that, are Saturn, Jupiter, and Venus. And this could be compared to Great Bear, Pleiades, and Sirius, in that order. Mm. because Sirius and Venus have many analogies between them. The Great Bear and Saturn, we know that the Great Bear transmits through Saturn, through Leo, and thence to Saturn, and thence to Shambhala. As for the Pleiades and Jupiter, it's a little bit more obscure. Now, also, but we could say that, of course, Jupiter is exalted in the sign Cancer, which is the lunar sign, and so Jupiter is deeply connected with the form in its lower expression, and so are the Pleiades. Also, the three synthesizing planets are Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. And again, there is a strong connection between these planets and Great Bear, Pleiades, and Sirius. So Neptune, of course, would represent the cosmic booty of the Pleiades, and Uranus, the cosmic will. And Saturn would connect with the Manus, being such a third-ray planet, would connect with the Manus, which position Sirius upholds with respect to our solar system. That's one of the positions it does uphold. You can see the connection here with the great lords of karma, who have to be extremely manasically astute. Sirius as the home of the law of karma, the intermediate law of karma, and Sirius being a great karmic lord to our solar logos. So, okay, it is almost as if a great triangle of Mahatic energy was thus formed, and I think it includes our solar system. Sirius transmits energy to our solar system via that, and it says here, sevenfold brooding mother, the silver constellation, whose voice is as a tinkling bell, and whose feet pass lightly o'er the radiant path between our worlds and hers. It's an amazing statement, and if the Great Bear is solar and related to gold, then the Pleiades are silver. Are lunar, should we say, lunar in associatively at least, and related to silver, and also to the third ray function of Mercury. Okay, so, it sounds like a very gentle type of energy involved here. And it is interesting to consider Sirius as transmitting via the brooding mother. As I say, the logos of the Pleiades is all out of proportion, as far as I can see, to the logos of Sirius, and yet we see that there is a transmission via the brooding mother. In the same way, the Draco is transmitting cosmic booty via the Pleiades, and yet the Pleiades would be considered, I think, even a greater source than Draco could be. So this term via or via is an unusual one. All we can say is that they are involved together in a transmission. It is probably some kind of monastic transmission, but it could be, yes, I would say a monastic transmission, and I would expect it to be just the other way around. Although Sirius is so close to our solar system that it has an overwhelming impact. So what could be, think of lines of energy. Would we envision the Sirius, which is only 8 light years away, somehow transmitting this energy another 400 light years in the other direction and then returning to our solar system, it seems extremely indirect. Maybe there are some Sirian Pleiadian representatives in our local area through which Sirius can transmit. Because otherwise, the I know in a way I'm being quite concrete and literal, but it doesn't seem necessary to transmit to a greater source, for a lesser source to transmit to a greater source, which is very far away from the ultimate source, or the ultimate object of the transmission, which is our solar system. So we'll have to, the proportion, or let's call it magnitudinal relation of Sirius to the Pleiades, simply has to be worked out. Some relativity is involved here, as Sirius is supreme to us in this solar system, but not magnitudinally supreme. That's the trouble with these big words, you know, magnitudinally. Let's put that in. MAGL, we'll call it that. And maybe if that word is ever used again, it won't be such a struggle. So, magnitudinelli. And mag is magic. Okay, MAGL, magnitudinelli. So we talk about relative magnitudes and absolute magnitudes. And that has to do with the power of the source we are dealing with, and also it's generally as a measure of luminosity. Okay. There is considerable blinding going on concerning these cosmic relations. And I've often talked about the tail wagging the dog, you know. It's as if lesser sources are greater and greater sources are lesser, probably because of the relativity of perceived impact. The perceived impact of Sirius in our solar system is extraordinary. The Pleiades, a much greater source around which our solar system revolves, we are told, even if it's not literally true, and it may be, just because we are told it in occultism, shows how great the Pleiades are. And Sirius, presumably as part of the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, being so close to our solar logos, or to our solar system, is, I think, revolving around the Pleiades along with our sun, our system, and maybe other systems, the seven solar systems, perhaps. And if that's the case, then we know who's the boss, you know. The Sirius, for all its splendor in relation to our solar system, is a dwarf star with, you know, anywhere from 25 to 33 luminosities of the sun, which is makes it, of course, tremendous with respect to the sun, but the Pleiades have a much higher luminosity, and after all, they are the center of the circle, aren't they? So suppose we were to go here to Alcyone, and in Wikipedia we might see something here, and that might give us an idea of relative luminosities. The apparent magnitude, 2.8, in a variable type, proper motion, parallax, distance, absolute magnitude, minus 2.39. Luminosity, 2,400. There it is. Alcyone has 2,400 solar luminosities. Well, that tells you something about, and that's just one, and that's just one of the Pleiades. And there are a thousand of them, you know. And the others also have much higher luminosities than Sirius. So we're dealing with relative impact. Now, sometimes I wonder when it says, you know, Sirius is the source of Manus to our solar logos. I wonder about the Sirian system. In other words, sometimes I call the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, the Sirian system, seven local solar systems. And I wonder whether the cosmic logos there in that Sirian system is not involved in conferring Manus upon our solar system. After all, this cosmic logos would be as the entity working through seven major chakras, of which our sun is one and Sirius is another. Is Sirius the what chakra in this being is Sirius? Is Sirius a head center, an ajna center? If it's a head center, we can well understand how it would be involved in the transmission of Manus to our sun, which represents the heart center. Well, if there is a veil wisely dropped upon planetary lore, you can imagine the thickness of the veil dropped upon stellar lore and constellational lore and super constellational lore. We have to keep our speculations within due bounds, and if the law of analogy seems to indicate that we could find out something about these more distant spheres, or from thinking of them we could find out something about our life closer to home, well, then we are justified in doing that. So anyway, it seems that anyway, in relation to our solar system, a higher type of Manus is conferred by Sirius than the type of Manus conferred by the Pleiades. But then these constellations and the lords behind them are so vast and have so many different levels to them that this lower type of conferral of Manus to the heavenly men, does not tell us anything really about the relative power of the two logoi who are behind, one of them a solar logos behind the star Sirius, and the other and even if it's the Sirian system, it's simply a cosmic logos, and if it's Pleiades as a whole, it's a super constellational logos, two levels higher than a solar logos. I'm trying to, you know, get the magnitudes of power here so we understand what the hierarchy really is in an absolute sense, the cosmic hierarchy in an absolute sense, and the cosmic hierarchy in a relative sense. So we are approaching the understanding of strength in two ways. Absolute magnitude and relative. Magnitude. Within the solar system, there is an interesting correspondence to this cosmic interplay in the relation between the Venus scheme and our Earth scheme and the Venus chain in our scheme. So, what is the analogy? We have, let's say, Venus scheme, Earth, Venus scheme, Earth scheme, Venus chain. And under that we have Sirius, Pleiades, and Sol, our solar logos. We can call him Sol. It's even musically significant, I think, you know, as the fifth in the scale represents the heart and soul. So the Venus scheme is to Sirius as the Earth, let's do it the other way. Sirius is the Venus scheme, as Pleiades is the Earth scheme, as soul is to the Venus chain. And there's a relative proportion there. We do know that that the Earth is very closely related to the Pleiades, perhaps through that particular Pleiad we call Merope, who may be, in terms of the energy it shares with our solar system, a third-ray Pleiad. You know, when you're talking about the rays of a star and you say it's one ray, it can never just be one ray. No entity has only one ray. Although, you know, when you begin to look at our solar logos, with its secondary personality, secondary soul, and maybe fourth-ray monad, that fourth-ray monad is a subsidiary type of monadic ray, and maybe the major monadic ray is the second, in which case, from the point of the three periodical vehicles, our solar logos would be a 2, 2, and 2. So the Pleiades, Venus is obviously a higher being than our Earth logos. And so the Sirius is connected with that higher being, and the Pleiades with the lower being, giving us the impression that the Pleiades are somehow a lower type of entity. But remember that the Pleiades, or the logos that is behind the Pleiades, as far as I can see, is a super constellational logos. Maybe a super constellational logos is really a cluster logos. We'd have to speak to my friend Peter Kabaska here, who studies the astronomy of these things quite closely and knows more about the local clusters. But clusters are unifications of stars, a great many in a small space, and presumably the logos behind them is quite powerful when compared to the logos behind smaller constellations. And then, of course, the one about whom naught may be said has to work through constellations as chakras. Page 293 of Cosmic Fire, we're told the unknown works through constellations as if they were chakras. So that seems to be the one about whom naught may be said level. Curiously enough, it will be through a contemplation of the human antaskarana, or the path which links higher and lower mind, which is constructed by the thinker during the process of evolution, that light on this abstruse matter will come. And, you know, he seems to be saying that the Venus scheme is as the monastic permanent atom in our solar system, and the Earth scheme is as the mental unit, impermanent and worked up from below, and closely relating instinct to mentality. So we're dealing here with antaskaranas, and maybe he's even implying, you know, that the in some larger system, that Sirius is like the monastic permanent atom, and the Pleiades like the mental unit. It's surprising how these how such structures as the mental unit seem to be carried into higher beings. I believe there is such a structure in relation to our planetary logos and also in relation to the solar logos, and who knows how far beyond that it might go. So although it seems a little bit inverted, the function which the Pleiades has in relation to our solar system is a lesser function than what Sirius has. And when we're thinking about the antaskarana, I'm sure there's a line of energy between the Pleiades and probably one of them in particular, maybe Electra, I don't know, one of them in particular, and Sirius. Sirius has a fifth-ray soul, I believe. It's the place of cosmic manas, as far as our Earth is concerned, as far as our solar system is concerned. And when we were working out, you know, how did it go? Alcyone, Maia, Merope, and then the Asteropes, then Electra, then Seleno, and one other, representing the seventh ray. I forgot that at the moment, but it's in the discussion. So one of those stars in the Pleiades would have to be directly connected with Sirius, and maybe the connection is via the soul ray rather than the monadic ray. This is, of course, far beyond us to know with exactitude. But there is a, let's say, DK seems to be saying, he seems to be saying that there is an antichoronic relationship between Pleiades and Sirius, with Pleiades occupying, strange as it seems, the lower point, and Sirius the higher. I would think of it as just the reverse, really. Just the reverse, because we're all trying to move towards the monad of the one about whom naught may be said eventually, and it would seem to me that it would be the monad of that great being, the one about whom naught may be said, who informs the Pleiades and all of the constellational chakras which emerged from it. Okay. There is, in connection with our planetary logos, just such an antiskarana, and as he builds and constructs it, it forms part of the fourth path and permits the passage of the bulk of humanity to this distant objective and this without obstruction. So this is interesting. Our planetary logos has built an antikarana to Sirius, and it is unobstructed. How interesting. And interesting, well, he has told us that there is a relationship between our little planet and that great center, even though we would imagine there is not, just as there is a relationship between our little planet and that still greater center, the Pleiades, and especially with one of the stars. So there has been an invocation, there has been a projection, there is a sustained relationship, and somehow the power of Sirius reaches our planet, we would think, directly, and need not be mediated by the solar logos. Well, the proportion is very strange, because our planet is such a relative nothing. Even a non-sacred planet within our solar system. And what is it to a cosmic logos? And so then what is it to a supercosmic logos like the Pleiades? But anyway, Sirius, I think, plays a very significant part in the local cosmic logos, and the proportion is very extreme when looking at the power of Sirius compared to our Earth, and yet somehow from this particular planetary logos, that of our Earth, a line has been, an antichoronic line has been created, and along that line the bulk of the sons of men can travel. A clue as to the nature of this path and as to the reason why so many of the human monads seek this particular stream of energy lies in the right understanding of the above suggestion. And notice, of course, you know, who are the travelers, and let's get that straight in our mind from the very beginning. Who are the travelers on these cosmic paths? I'll do that again, if I may. cosmic paths, cosmic paths. And they are monads. That's what they are. We, as the monad, in search of our destiny within one larger context after another, are the travelers on these cosmic paths. The initiates who tread this way are primarily those of the fourth and sixth order. Now, let's see what order can mean. Does order mean monadic ray? I mean, that's one of the things that it can mean, because our sun is the sun of the fourth order, and its monadic ray is hypothesized, I think, first that I'm aware of by Stephen Pugh, as a fourth ray monad. And perhaps we can look at Betelgeuse, which is the star of the second order, as possessing the second ray monad. I think those are the only orders of stars that he has given us, so that in a way these orders may correlate to rays. They also correlate to planes. So we suggest the orders may correlate to rays and to planes as well, and to polarization upon planes. It depends on what reference one reads. The different references give different aspects. So the fourth or sixth order, you know, we're going to see something here about the master Serapis, and he calls him the Egyptian master, but maybe it's Serapis. All right. The Brotherhood of Luxor, I was... you know, people have been searching for the name of the Master P, and a suggestion on this emerged in California from Jane Seligson, who suggested that the Master P was Polydorus Issuranius, a member of the Brotherhood of Luxor and on the Fourth Ray. That Brotherhood seems to be on the Fourth Ray, and there was a Tutuit Bay, just like Serapis Bay there, and a certain Robert Ward, all apparently on the fourth ray as masters. And maybe that tells us something about Egypt and Masonry. The Masonic Masonic rays are very much rays 1, 4, and 7. And when we look at Egypt as a very occult school for the future, having a very occult school, and being in a way the one of the recent homes of the patterns which have evolved into modern masonry, we can see, I think, the importance of the first ray, a first ray school in Egypt, and the fourth ray as well, being such a Masonic ray, having to do with the link between spirit and matter, in a sense. As earlier pointed out, this is the path that the Lords of Compassion most frequently follow, and at this time the Egyptian Master and the Master Jesus are preparing themselves to tread it. We say presently, they are on the path of earth service, so it seems. Jesus is a Chohan. I believe we can say that. Maybe if we look up his name in the same breath as the word Chohan, we'll find something, huh? And here it is in Raised Initiation, this ray on which the Chohan Jesus may be found. But I'm not aware that there is anything that indicates that the Master Serapis is the Chohan, but it just stands to reason, as the head of the fourth ray ashram, which requires Chohanship, that he would be such. So the Egyptian Master and Master Jesus are preparing to tread it. The mystics of the Occident, who who have come into incarnation during the past 1,000 years are a peculiar group of egos, capital E, whose impulse is towards this type of cosmic energy. And one wonders whether these mystics do not have some aspect of their monad on the sixth ray. It would have to be a secondary monadic ray. Anyway, because if you think about it, the Master Jesus will have a sixth ray monad in order to help make him the Chohan there, but Serapis, no. But the mystics definitely are on that sixth ray line in a very high sense. So in this system, they have developed certain basic recognitions, and the ecstasy of the Occidental mystic is the germ latent within him, which will someday flower forth into that cosmic rapture for which we as yet have no name. Beautiful thoughts, and here I think we see that cosmic rapture is an outgrowth, is a much higher state than mystical ecstasy, but closely related to it. So this will be of great interest, the destination for the Occidental mystic. Maybe the Oriental mystic is using even more reason, more rationality. There's something, you know, the third ray personality of the Orient maybe inclines towards this rationality in the Oriental mystic. So anyway, there are certain types who follow this particular path. And Master Serapis, or at least the Egyptian master, if it's not Master Serapis, but in all likelihood it is. And, because the fourth ray is very much connected with Egypt. I guess we should think about that these days when that nation is so troubled and, in a way, in search of harmony through conflict. Okay. Cosmic rapture and rhythmic bliss are the attributes of the fourth path. And we do remember, we could say the second and the fourth path may have some relation. The path of magnetic work and the path to Sirius may have some relation. The factor of rhythm is important to both. As we've been talking about, the detection of frequency of the different states of substance energy is so important to the master on the second path, because he must manipulate those levels electrically. But the rhythmic bliss has more to do, it seems to me, it's a very strange combination of words, but it has to do with achieving such a correct rhythm in relation to the star Sirius that its energy can flow through unobstructedly and bring the bliss. So we might say here that rhythm is a method of ensuring entrainment with a source from which the energy of bliss flows. In this case, the logos of Sirius. Kind of interesting that there is here a indication of the sixth ray. And the seventh, because wherever we mention rhythm, we require the seventh ray. So there's something about this life lived in perfect rhythm which brings bliss from a practical point of view. Life lived according perfectly and in spiritual rhythm brings ecstasy and bliss. And, you know, downflow, unobstructed downflow from the sources of the high energies which produce bliss. It is a form of identification which is divorced from consciousness altogether. Identification, what can we call it, IDN, a merging of identities, a merging of identities. And so we're not talking about subject-object relations here. We're talking about the ways of moving forward or moving onward into life. Well, let's say, trying to stick closer to the time, that this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary 25A, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 95. And beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary 25B, Higher Evolution Compilation, page 95. Okay.